I'm pleased to share with you today another message, and a very important one, from Pastor Greg at Christ Lutheran Church, Cape Canaveral. And the message today is titled, The Fight to Save the Little Children. And I will share how you can get involved to help at the end of the message.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk with you about the real pandemic. The real pandemic that's going on in the world today. What is that? I'll tell you, it's not COVID-19. The real pandemic that's going on in the world today is actually called abortion. And to prove that that's the real pandemic, just consider, if you will, the death numbers from COVID-19 worldwide in the last year, 2020, at least according to the official reports. Now, we know that these numbers were super inflated so that, you know, if you died of a bicycle accident and you had a PCR test saying you're positive, that was counted as a COVID death. So these numbers are super inflated, but even so, let's give them that. Let's say that those are the actual numbers. How many people died last year from COVID-19?
600,000.
From last year, actually, 1.8 million in the world. 1.8 million. Okay? So that we're giving them their numbers that they're claiming. How many people died last year in 2020 worldwide from abortion? 42.7 million. So even if you give them their official numbers, which are super inflated, but even let's just say that's true. 1.8 million for COVID-19, 42.7 million for abortion were slaughtered worldwide last year. So that's why I'm saying this is the real pandemic. This is the real tragedy that's going on in the world, not COVID-19, but abortion. And we're about life as Christians. And so the reason I'm talking about you today is not to be a downer, but an upper, because we have a great chance and opportunity as God's people, especially in Florida, to stand up for life today, because there is a grassroots movement in Florida led by Project Human Life Florida, where they are seeking to accumulate 891,589 signatures by December from Florida residents and on a petition. And the petition is to amend the Florida Constitution. And the amendment reads like this: all human beings have the right to life regardless of age, illness, or disability when there is a detectable heartbeat. And so the way people pro-life have tried to do this in the past is they try to go through the legislature and pass a bill for pro-life, and that always fails because the legislature in Florida has tabled it and shelved it. This time, totally bypassing the legislature, just by the citizens of Florida, if we get signatures on petitions by December of that many, 891,000 basically, it skips the whole legislature, goes straight onto the ballot for next year, 2022, and then the Florida citizens can vote on it, and if you get 60% or more, that is an amendment to the Constitution in Florida, and then children with a detectable heartbeat, namely 17 or 18 days old in the womb after conception, are protected in Florida. Hence, you can save millions of children in the years to come. So that's the exciting thing I'm preaching to you on today, that we fight for the right. As it says in Scripture, it says, open your mouth for those who can't speak for themselves, says God in Proverbs 31. For the rights of all who are left desolate, open your mouth, judge righteously, maintain the rights of the poor and needy. So let's open our mouths for those who can't speak for themselves and fight for them. And that's a good thing as a Christian. It's a holy war. It's a good fight because we are people of life. Amen. And we serve the living God who's all about life. So to stir up our zeal towards this, you guys are already believing in this, but to inspire you with greater joy and excitement to serve in this way, zeal for the fight. Let's just consider today and refresh ourselves on what we believe about abortion as Christians. First of all, let's just consider, what is the value, do you think, of a human life? People have a little value, or do they have a lot of value? What do you think? A human life, how much value does it have? Well, when David was considering this question about 3,000 years ago, I think he went out probably on a starlit night, and he looked up at the great expanse of the stars, and he penned these words in Psalm 8. He says, "When I look at thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him?" That's the question, right? I mean, with all that up there, and man is just a tiny little speck down here, are we really of any value? David questions. But look at the very next line, inspired by the Holy Spirit. "Yet thou, God, hast made him, man, thou hast made him little less than God, and dost crown him with glory and honor." What is the value that God places upon a human life? It's absolutely incalculable. If you think about Psalm 139, how much does God love you and care for you and value you? David writes, "You know when I sit down, God. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You're acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my lips, God, you know it all together." He cares everything about you. Think about that. Jesus says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even all the hairs of your head are all numbered." How precious God's thoughts are towards you. And if you want to know how much you're valuable to God, or children are valuable to God today, well, how much would you pay for them? If you give me a rock, would I pay you anything for a rock? No, I wouldn't give you anything for it. You can tell the value of something by what you pay for it, right? But if you give me a rock called gold, I might give you $1 million for it, because the amount I will pay for it determines its value. Amen? Capiche? Following me? What is the value of a human life? Well, what would God pay for you? Jesus says, "It's for your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions your mother was put away." We were sold for our sins and evils and rebellion. But Jesus says, "This is the price I will pay for you. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So say the word with me, ransom. Ransom price means he paid for you. We were bought with a price. And what is the price? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son. That's the value that God places upon you and upon human life. How high this is, deeper than the ocean and higher than the sky. The value Jesus and God places upon human life. So far, the world would probably somewhat agree with us, even though they wouldn't like the references to Jesus and God. But they'll say, yeah. Okay, so human life, we'll say with you, it has value, even great value. The question today, though, is what's the value of an unborn life developing in the womb? Does that have great value, too? The world says, no, not so much. It's not even human. It's just tissue in there. It's not even human yet till it comes out of the mom. So what do we know? The Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, ruled in 1973 that in the first trimester, you can kill a child for any reason in the womb. Any reason. Doesn't matter. So kill it. Not a value. It's just a thing. It's just stuff. It's just tissue. Second trimester, you can kill it for the life of the mother, for the health of the mother, which is defined as basically anything. If the mother feels inconvenienced by the child, kill it. It's not of that much value if it inconveniences you, ruled the Supreme Court. Third, but it's harder, notice. In the third trimester, they said it's up to the states. You can regulate abortion as you wish, except to protect the life of the mother or her health. So if you think about the world, how do they value a human life? Well, it increases with age. First trimester, take a pill, no problem. Second trimester, little harder, not much, a little more. Third trimester, little harder still. Once born, then it's supposed to have value and be protected. So it increases with age. Is that the truth or is that a lie? What does God say about that in his word? He says the value of human life is equal without distinction to age from the womb. Because think of what David says in Psalm 139. Let's read that one. I'm opening up the scriptures here. Psalm 139. David says to God, he says, "For you, God, formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know me very well. My frame wasn't hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. Thy eyes beheld my unformed substance. In thy book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Oh God, how precious to me are thy thoughts, how vast the sum of them. When I awake, I'm still with thee." So, what is the value of a human life in the womb according to Scripture? This is God's workshop. Your womb, oh women, is God's toy factory. He's in there designing the children. He's the potter, the children are the clay, and there's an intimate relationship going on in there. So what would it be then, do you think, if someone were to walk into that workshop, knock the clay right off the wheel there, and just destroy it and throw it in the garbage? What do you think the potter would do to that? Would he not fly into a furious rage that you had entered his shop and done such? Well, a woman's womb is God's workshop. And he's not just dealing with clay when he's working in there. He's dealing with a human being. Notice what David says when he says this. He says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw me there." He says, "In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." So who's in the womb? Is it an it, or is it an I and a me? It's an I and a me. It's a person in there. That's why we Christians are fighting for those in the womb, because they're human beings. Amen? Amen? Human beings have names. What do we read of Jesus? It says, "The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named my name." When did Jesus get his name? Dick, when did Jesus get it? Way before he was born, and the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "His name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You don't give names to it, except for Cousin It from whatever that show was. You give names to human beings. And the children in the womb have names. They also have personalities. When you read Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, Rebekah, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled within her. That's Jacob and Esau. Remember that? They're battling it out and duking it out inside of her. Their personalities are already at work before they're even born. Because when they came out, the rest of their life, most of it, they fought with each other. Do you ever find that, let's say you're a mother, I'm talking to the women, okay, hopefully, you have different children, same mom, same dad, totally different children. Because God gives them each a different personality. They already got it in the womb. They're human beings, they're people. And babies in the womb have emotions. They have joy. For example, remember when Mary comes in and sees Elizabeth, who has John the Baptist in her womb, and Mary's got Jesus in her womb, Elizabeth exclaims, "When the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb, John the Baptist, leaped for joy." So say the word joy. That's an emotion. That's a human being experiencing these things. They can experience joy, pain, comfort, all these things. And you know, when Naomi was in Beth's womb, my daughter, I would sing to her. And I sang all kinds of songs, and she'd have different reactions to them. Her favorite one was Inchworm. You guys know this. Inchworm, inchworm, measuring the marigold. You and your arithmetic, you'll probably go far. Inchworm, inchworm, measuring the marigold. Seems to me you'd stop and see how beautiful they are. And Naomi and Beth would be like, and she'd be like dancing in there. She loved, that was her favorite song. So she's born. First night, I see her like an hour later. Naomi's never seen my face before. She's looking, as babies do, spacily into the outer upper part of the room. And I started singing, inchworm, inchworm. And Naomi's little head, she could move it with her neck, and looked over and looked up into my eyes and said, basically, there's my dad. I know that voice. I've never seen his face before, but I know that song. This is my dad. Babies, my point is, in the womb are children. They're human beings. They have relationships. They have joy. And in fact, it's even greater than that with God. For he said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. How precious God loves you today, because the Bible says he knew you even before the foundation of the world. He already knew who you were. So you have great value, and the children in the womb also have great value. Therefore, we fight to save them. And David exclaimed, God, you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. So, knowing this, what do you think we should say about abortion? What is it according to God's word? To abort is to end a human life. To end a human life is a sin, it's wrong, it's evil, and it is murder. For that is what it is, the ending and snuffing out of a human life. And God tells us, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. It's against his will. Christians, therefore, are against abortion because we promote life. But you hear the world will answer, but I believe in a woman's right to choose. A woman's right to choose. A woman's right to choose. Sounds pretty good so far, right? I'm all for a woman's right to choose all kinds of things. Sounds good, but make them finish the sentence. To choose what? I believe in a woman's right to choose to abort her child, to snuff its life out, to kill it? No. Doesn't sound so good anymore. But as it is in modern times, so it was in ancient times. You know, this is in the Bible, and this was very much done in ancient times too. Psalm 106 says of the people of Israel, they mingled with the nations and learned to do what they did. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. They killed their children and sacrificed them to demons, and whether people know it or not today, that's what's happening when they're aborting their children. They're sacrificing to demons, and there is a great judgment for such. God says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. God's temple is holy, and that temple you are. So let's ask this question. Are there any exceptions to this where it's not wrong? How about rape? How about incest? You know, those are horrific sins. But you know what? In those sins, a woman is innocent. The man is guilty. God's wrath burns against the man, but his tender mercy is pouring out to help the woman. So why then would you compound the woman's difficulties by now making her not a victim of a crime, but now putting her under God's wrath and making her guilty. Because the Son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the Father, says the Scriptures, nor the Father suffer for the iniquity of the Son. Don't kill the child because of the sin of the father or the mother. Save the child. But what about, is there any case where it could possibly be okay? Well, I could conceive of maybe, perhaps, in this extreme case, where, let's say the child's going to definitely die, cannot grow in the womb. That happens at certain times. If it's growing up in the fallopian tube, for example, you can't grow there and it can't be moved, it's going to die and it will kill the mother too. In that case, I would say, better one death rather than two deaths. But even there, it's a very tough situation. And God help us all and commend it to the care of a wise and helpful pastor too. In every other case, though, I'm saying it's wrong and it's evil and it's a sin. We have to avoid that and fight for the right, fight for life. We can go four blocks over this way and the government will come after you if you touch the eggs of a little sea turtle. $100,000 and a year in prison if you harm a turtle in the egg. But if you harm a human being in the mother, that's okay. Go about your life. It's all right. There's something really wrong with that. And so what I'm saying is the real pandemic is not COVID-19 at all. Why is the world freaking out over that? 1.8 million when we got 42.7 last year for human beings, for abortion. 3,500 killed per day, 146,000 an hour, one every 25 seconds, and 61 million in America since 1973, Roe v. Wade. But the world will accept it because it's big business. Planned Parenthood generally makes about $1 billion a year over this abortion factory. It's the real pandemic, and woe to the world for its evil. But now, let's get to the good news. How about us? What are we for? We're for life, because we have a God of life. Jesus is the author of life. We are brought to eternal life in Jesus Christ. And everything we do as Christians, we want to promote life, and that abundantly. And so that's why we fight and stand up for the children, because abortion's wrong. It does kill a child, and it harms the parents too. I met a woman years ago when she had aborted her child when she was younger, and she was middle-aged by the time I met her, and I was in a little small group setting with her, and she confessed that she had taken the life of her child many years previous, and it was haunting her and destroying her life even decades later. It harms the parents, too, and there is a great judgment for it. For God says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." So we want to promote life. But let me ask this question now. The world has gone wrong in these ways. Many people have done wrong and spilled innocent blood. But is there forgiveness from God? Is there grace to heal this wound? Is there salvation for those who have done such a thing? Answer is yes, absolutely, from God. For all who come to God by Jesus Christ. Because you know what? This is the good news, is that our God is so full of love and so full of life and so values human life. Even if people have gone wrong in these ways, he's willing to forgive it and cover it. That's why he sent his son Jesus Christ, to bring all of us life, despite whatever our sins have been, to wash them away in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. This woman had confessed to me, "I killed my baby, I killed my baby, I killed my baby," she said to our whole group. "Can she be forgiven?" I ask. God would say to her, from Isaiah 49, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should no more have compassion on the fruit of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you." Isn't that beautiful? Our God is willing to forgive. Come, save, comfort, and forgive. And think about this. how did God actually save us? And how can God even save people who have aborted their children? Answer, amazingly, through the abortion of his own son. God didn't do it, but we aborted God's only child, Jesus Christ. We meant it for evil. God meant it for good, to save us and to make us white and clean again from all of our sins. Peter declared at Pentecost, "You denied the holy and the righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we're witnesses. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come to you from the presence of the Lord." Are there stains of blood on your hands from any sins? Are there stains on your hand or someone else's hand from even taking the life of a child? Can those things be washed? Yes, they can. It's the blood of Jesus that goes through our blood-stained hands and makes us whiter than snow. That's what God comes to do, comes to save. "Come now, let's reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. And though they're red like crimson, I will make them like wool. For I don't retain my anger forever, because I delight in steadfast love." And Micah says, "He will again have compassion on us and tread all our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." So to anybody who sinned, we've all sinned. To those who've sinned in this or in any other sin, God says, "Come to me. Come by Jesus Christ, and I will say to you from Isaiah 43, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine." So, conclusion here, what are we supposed to do? In response to this message today, God says this in Isaiah, in Psalm 82. He says, "Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." So, let's stand up for life. Let's encourage women and fathers as well to keep their children. Educate our children and grandchildren. And this petition will protect those who have a heartbeat in Florida for years to come. If we get the petitions signed and in by December, we can save the lives of potentially, seriously, millions of children in the years to come. And personally, I just got to say this. I am so thankful before you that we have a God who loves us, that passes over our transgressions for his name's sake, that loves you, that values you higher than the heavens and deeper than the ocean, that sent his son Jesus Christ to save you. And he says this to you today, to my people. He says, "Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel who've been born by me from your birth and carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bear you. I will carry, and I will save." Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called "The Fight to Save the Little Children," a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. Do you want to help the little children? Number one, you must be a Florida registered voter to sign the petition. Number two, go to humanlifefl.com to learn more and download petitions. Three, please tell your church and friends to help get these 850,000 plus petitions. Four, you can replay this message at the WMIE website. Scroll down to On Demand, search for today's date for Christ Lutheran Church, Cape Canaveral. Five, you can replay the message at our website, Christ Lutheran Church, CapeCanaveral.org. Search for "The Fight to Save the Little Children." Thank you, and God bless you.